This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I didn't know there was a power outage.
An international power outage.
Big deal.
In fact.
International power outage? Why did I miss this?
Like two whole countries.
Like the entire country of Spain and Portugal lost power for extended periods of time. Hospitals, traffic lights, electricity across the
board
gone. Yeah. Trains, airports shut down, all of it. We'll get to that later. But gentlemen, how was your weekend?
It was pretty good, man. I was talking about this with Danny in one of the breaks, and I realized that my life is now just around sports. Like on Saturday night, I had a text from a buddy and he goes, "Hey, got a couple people going over to my parents. His brother was in town. He wants to say hey to you. Why don't you come over? Like, we'll drink my parents' liquor. It'll be great. We'll talk with the fam."
Hell
awesome.
Yeah.
Go. I can't. The Warriors and Rockets are playing right now. I'm going to be unable to attend. Well, when's it end? It ends at like 10, and to be honest, I'm just going to go to bed afterwards. I'm tired. I've been watching basketball all day. I took a break so that I could go watch my little cousin play baseball, and while I was at the great Glenwood Little League, I did have the phone up so I could watch both.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm on the opposite side of that now. I used to be in your exact shoes. When I was working in sports, I was in my late 20s, and everything I was doing, I'm like, I'm just going to watch this game. I'm going to watch this game. I'm good. And now I'm like, I'm way more sports adjacent, I would say, as the little ones in my life, the 4-year-old and 1.5-year-old, and often their programming take precedence, but there are creative ways as a dad and with apps and streaming services now that you can make that stuff fit in so that you can remain sports engaged, which obviously important for me and my job, but just a little word of advice for parent sports dads or moms out there. There are ways. You just have to find them. So one of the ways that we hosted a 4-year-old's birthday party over the weekend. And birthday party, it wasn't like we had a bunch of screaming kids. There were like 4 kids total, plus some grandparents and a couple friends. Low-key, Paw Patrol themed. Everything was awesome. But what we had was the NFL draft going on. We had NBA playoffs going on. And just had my stepdad pop out an old TV from the garage, put it out on the patio. We made sure it was close enough to an internet signal, plugged it on into the exterior outlet, and boom, we had our streaming sports right there on the outside. And yes, the kids' party was first, but you know, I knew when Shadur was getting picked and whatnot.
Well, also, like with the 4-year-old party, I think you're still in the range where it's kind of more of the parent party.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Like, and so you can kind of get away with some of that stuff. Like, I'm trying to learn. Like, you are my sensei, and I am your student here, and I am just going to learn all the tricks of the trade from you so that when it's my turn, and I, unfortunately for the world, have a little one running around, I can know what to do and what not to do. Dude, that kid's going to be a terror. It's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
They're going to be massive because my wife is going to be tall. There's just no way around. I'm too tall. Luke Anderson and I, one of the weekends, we did the math on what percentile I am for height.
Uh-huh.
It's 99.4.
You're way up there.
It's unbelievable. Well, like, I know I'm tall, but I didn't think 6'5 was 99th percentile. Had no idea. So, unfortunately for the world, my kid will be tall, and they will act like me, and that will be a problem. There'll be good things, but it'll be a problem.
Well, I remember all the boring parties that, like, as a kid, I went to some other kids' birthday parties that were also pretty boring, and obviously the parents were even more bored than we were. Like, parents have to do a better job for each other. PSA, entertain the other parents that are bringing the kids. It's okay to have a game on in the background. It's okay to have, like, something else ancillary going on.
Yeah.
It's so weird. I feel like we just kind of come down too harshly on people that's like, oh, you can't know what's happening with your favorite.
Is the game that important?
And more, like, important, well, than your kid? No!
It's not binary. It's not one or the other.
Depends.
Non-binary parent sports watchers.
There you go. That's good.
Is the kid having a good day today? Because if he's not, it might be more important than my kid.
What we have today, though, is a veritable... I identified this early. I was on my drive in and I heard Will Ortner producing the Danny and Dusty show in the afternoon, and I thought, am I J.J. Redick? Is Ryan Cooley J.J. Redick? Is Swag J.J. Redick? Because what we saw last night in the Lakers game was J.J. Redick play all his starters the entire second half, and then, the guy who played the whole game ran out of gas. Mm. LeBron, no points in the fourth quarter. We'll get more to that, or get two more of that in our NBA pulled pork today. But I'm concerned. I mean, it seems like you put up 27 already, like LeBron did in the first three quarters. But are we going to hit a stall when we get to the club tonight?
Oh, we're going to be just fine. I got my wake up juice going. I had my workout this morning, and
yeah, you were talking about deadlifting with Danny.
The deadlift wasn't today. The deadlift, that's a weekend event for me.
Okay,
I need a long break in my deadlift. And the thing about deadlifting, this is going to get really dumb and meatheady, but I need breaks, and I'm not going to lift more than 5 reps in a set. It puts too much of a risk on my low back and on other parts of my body, so I have to go heavy with it if I'm going to go low reps. So that means a lot of weight. And again, I learned quickly that I am an old man, because look, I'm pretty strong. I'm not as strong as some people, stronger than most. And I had some people come up and want to congratulate me, and I kind of kindly told them to leave me alone. Like, Sook and I, we go to the same gym. Mm-hmm. And so I've multiple times seen Sook get approached by random strangers.
Haven't you also been mistaken for father and son there?
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. By the staff of that fine establishment. Like, whoa, I haven't seen your dad in a while. Not my dad. But, like, when strangers approach Sook, he is much nicer than you would think. Because when you look at him, he looks like someone where you'd come up and be like, hey, man, like,
be afraid to approach him.
You walk to the other side of the street when you see a guy like,
right,
Sook, usually.
Like, if that's a guy that I see on the sidewalk and it's dark, I'm crossing the road. I'm walking against traffic. But he doesn't have that approach to him when you actually do come up to him. And he's very nice, and he'll have a conversation with you. And I have learned that is not how I approach life. And I didn't kind of realize I did it until this interaction. My buddy was on the bike doing whatever he was doing, getting ready for his lift. And I had people come up that were like trying to ask for tips or something. And I literally was just like, hey guys, you're interrupting my lifting time. Like, I got to leave. I walked and did something else instead. And my buddy had to come over and be like, dude, you're such a jerk. Like, they're clearly just asking for some tips. Be nice and give them the tips that they're asking for. And so I did find them later and be like, hey, I am sorry. I should not have told you to leave me alone.
It's one of those deals where the gym is it's a public space, but it's a personal space. So it's a little bit odd as far as like what the expected interactions are, because people are in. And people are just cut from different cloths. So it's like someone's going to be like willing to chat, have their workout derailed. Others are like, leave me alone. I'm here doing business, you know?
Yeah.
So it goes both ways. And I certainly understand that.
It also depends too on like for me specifically, what I'm listening to. Like, if I'm going in there on a more of an upper body day, like, it's going to be fun music. Or a podcast.
Is that
or
how that works?
1080 The Fan.
Oh, yeah.
I'll listen to like whatever, and I'm much more approachable on that day. When it's leg day, I hate my life. My life sucks. I'm going to be sore for the next 3 days. I'm not going to be able to sit down. It's, you know, going to hurt when I ignore my friends and try and sit down and lay down and watch basketball all day. I'm going to be mad. You probably shouldn't talk to me on leg day.
Fair enough. Noted fact, don't talk to Will Ortner on leg day, arm day. Is it going to be in a much better mood? So the deadlifting, is that more for your back or more for your legs?
It's your legs, but like if you do it wrong, it's definitely going to affect your back.
Have you seen this Florida alligator trapper that's going viral? Have you seen this guy?
No.
So I'll have you look him up. I've got him bookmarked because
what's his name?
So he went viral over the weekend. Dude is a skies out, thighs out dude. He's like in full camo, barefooted, and he's got these giant legs, and he's just wrestling gators because apparently he's this, I guess he's a licensed alligator removal specialist. And so Florida, tons of gators all over the place. This dude, and I'm trying to find his name, is he's kind of an animal. He looks like he's like would be like a TikTok star, but apparently he's just employed to do this. His name is Mike Dragich.
Mike Dragich.
So look up Mike Dragich, or I can just
Is it spelled like how I think it is?
Dragich.
Mike.
And this dude, I'm just wondering with enough deadlifting if you could do stuff like this, because Dragich. This seems like how to maybe apply some of that.
The blue collar brawler.
Yeah. So here, I'll just pass you my phone here.
Well, I've got him up.
Yeah, so over the weekend, he got a 10-foot gator off of I-95 in Jacksonville, and he did it in bare feet, sleeveless camo, and shorts up to the mid-thigh. It's almost like a Reno 911 meets Swamp People situation.
And I'm a short guy. I embrace it's one of my moves now. You know, like, everyone has that friend that was fat and then got skinny randomly, so then they take their shirt off all the time. Well, I'm not there yet. But I'm very much like show off my legs all the time, even though I don't like have great legs. My clothing throughout the last year and a half specifically has gotten very tight and very small compared to what it once was.
Now, as the Travis Kelce of Southwest Washington, are you at all are you at all abreast of the Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, Blake Lively, Ryan Reynolds situation? Have you been following that?
I was told that he's been unfollowed, or Travis Kelce unfollowed Ryan Reynolds.
That's right, because Blake and Taylor are having some fallout.
They're angry with each other.
Do you know why?
Yeah, this is deep.
Is it about the Baldoni or whatever thing?
Justin Baldoni?
Yeah, I've been following this. It's pretty crazy.
All right, really? Well, fill me in. I don't know what's going on here.
What's happening?
So I'm not sure I've watched the doc you guys are talking about, but there's a couple of podcasts that have been on it, and
I've only seen the headlines, and I wasn't aware there was a doc or podcast.
I've seen the tweets.
Well, essentially, so that movie that came out with Justin Baldoni directing and Blake Lively starring in it, it was supposed to be this movie like about domestic violence. Well, apparently there was some sexual harassment and sexual types of advances that were made reportedly against Blake Lively from the director, Justin Baldoni. At least that's what Blake Lively is alleging, some of which what happened in this, I think, $400 million defamation lawsuit.
And this may be where I have a blind spot, but yeah. I guess the part that I get to is that it doesn't seem like old T Swizzle would be in favor of any of this. So is she just not supportive enough, or why the rift between Blake and Swifty?
So the rift happened because Blake is kind of one of those Hollywood elites, right? Her and Ryan Reynolds have been known to be very successful, like on top of not just like, you know, like there's arcs of success in Hollywood, and they are near the top. They are like freaking titans in that industry, and nobody does anything without asking those two, it seems. But apparently Blake got a little higher on her horse, and in this fight was saying that Justin better be careful, essentially, because Blake would go to find and pull out her dragons, one of which includes Taylor Swift. So,
so she threatened to unleash Taylor Swift as a weapon in this situation, and T-Swift was like, whoa, don't rope me in?
Basically using the power of their celebrity to say, hey, we're going to get what we want here, allegedly. These are all from text messages that were included in this lawsuit, so I don't want to get in trouble. This is all just obviously both parties are alleging a lot of each other here, but it's a whole mess. And frankly, Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds probably going to end up looking bad in the end. So,
well, speaking of a mess, the NFL draft for Shedeur Sanders. It's one of those things where I feel like the media has beaten this topic to a pulp, but it also feels like it is a significant moment in NFL draft history. The way the narratives preceded it all, the way the tumble happened, everyone's reaction to it. We're going to have to unpack that a little bit in our Shedeur Sanders sliders topped with some prank call pepper jack, because not only did Shedeur Sanders get prank called, apparently a bunch of other draftees or would be draftees got prank called as well. Some more draft dunkaroos includes whether or not the Seahawks are liars, and a little profile on Jalen Milroe, the quarterback they picked up. Plus, Is the goat being honey-trapped and the conspiracies that go along with that? We'll get to all of that plus Schulte's stock watch right here on Primetime 1080 The Fan. One of the biggest stories going in was where Shedeur Sanders was going to go, and then the even bigger story, just how far he tumbled. We read the tweet on Friday from the President of the United States scolding all 32 teams for not drafting him earlier. Today, we also saw the White House press secretary say that, yes, the president did tweet about that, and he did get taken a few rounds later, so those are the facts.
He's the one who caused it.
It was the Don, okay? He's the best. He's the greatest. He's going to be the best quarterback of everybody in the draft.
But what I found really interesting about the slide was that, I mean, the Browns were a team, and by the time the draft got here on Thursday, it was going to be the situation for Shedeur. It was like minus money for him to end up there,
right?
Not necessarily with the 2 pick, not necessarily even with a second or third round pick, but just that that would be the place. So that was where it seemed the welcome was the warmest, that maybe had the biggest need.
Mm-hmm.
But then that team had pick after pick after pick, and then when 94th overall came up, they picked a quarterback, and it wasn't Shedeur Sanders. It was Dylan Gabriel, which, by the way, we'll talk a little bit more about where all the different ducks landed later. I want to kind of do a little rapid-fire segment with you later about what mm-hmm. you think about each of those situations for some of these guys. But,
for sure.
By all accounts, Gabriel was their guy from the beginning, it sounds like. Mary Kay Cabot and some others from Cleveland were writing and had reports that not only was Dylan Gabriel one of the top 30 official meetings of players that they brought in, which every team only gets 30 of guys that you're allowed to host at your facility. Otherwise, you got to see him at combine, the pro day, whatever. And so the fact that he was drafted that far down and he was one of their top 30 guys. Mm-hmm. And then on top of it, they went into and arranged a private workout and dinner in Eugene with Gabriel that they kept under the radar the entire time. So it was, if people had known that, it might have been more understood that maybe Shedeur wouldn't have been, I guess, the first one they took, but it was a little peculiar that they ended up taking him there. I guess you're just taking another lottery ticket or another raffle ticket in what looks like a quarterback roulette situation in Cleveland, and maybe he's the guy that can develop. But for as much as we thought maybe he's not a first rounder, maybe he's not a starter, no one saw the fifth round tumble coming at all, unless you really had some tea leaves behind closed doors.
And we talked about this on Friday, where if you were listening to some of the more rational experts, is the word that I'm going to use, like Todd McShay was coming out and saying, hey, he's not going to get taken by the Giants. So if he isn't taken by the Giants at 3 and at 2, Cleveland doesn't take him, which at that point, I think if Jacksonville doesn't give up the bag to move up and get Hunter, Cleveland wasn't going to take him at 2. Shedeur was going to tumble, and he basically had one shot, and that was going to be at 21 to the Steelers. So him sliding to the second round, that wasn't the shocking point. The shocking point was when Tyler Shuck got picked.
Yes.
The shocking point was when Jalen Milroe got picked. And the most shocking one was when Dylan Gabriel got picked. And this isn't a knock on Dylan Gabriel, but most mock drafts had him as a day 3 guy.
Yeah.
They had him as a middle of day 3 guy.
They certainly didn't have him above Shedeur Sanders.
No. And I think what you saw out of a lot of teams is they didn't view Shedeur as a first-round talent. No matter what he said or what Mel Kiper Jr. said or what some of the other media said.
Or how hyped he'd been in the last 4 months every time a Colorado game was on TV.
He wasn't a first-round talent. So now he's getting viewed as a second or third round talent. Well, if he's a second or third round talent, that's a guy who at minimum is going to sit for a year, barring injury. Well, if you're going to bring in a guy like that, he needs to be able to be a backup. And Shedeur has a lot of strengths as a player. A weakness that he has is he is going to be hard to sell as a backup. It's the same reason Jay Cutler was hard to sell as a backup. It's the same reason why Cam Newton was hard to sell as a backup. His is just more out in the open because he is a circus, and he is going to be a media lightning rod, mm-hmm. whether he's your starting QB or not. Tim Tebow was like this, right? Where Tebow was a lightning rod, and people were doing stories about the third string quarterback. Teams don't like that. They want their backup QB to not be giving press conferences. They want their QB, their backup, to be, well, frankly, quiet. They don't want him having Twitch streams or big tweets. They don't want his dad in press conferences making comments about him and whether he's playing or not.
We already saw some of this at the end of the weekend where he had this massive draft party clubbing blowout or whatever. Right. And it's like, that's not the end of the world. But because of who he is and because of the magnifying glass that's on him, it's never going to not be a story. And the last thing almost any NFL team wants is for their backup quarterback to be a story.
Exactly.
Good, bad, or indifferent. Exactly. There's nothing saying he can't go out and have a good time with his friends. But when you're opening up a box of $1 million cash and you've got rappers and it's all to celebrate your fifth round selection for a team that you may never start a single game for, it's, you know, it comes with opinions. It comes with people that kind of cock their head and look at it sideways. We saw videos come out over the weekend of he and Cam Ward working out together, which they did a lot, and him talking to Cam about making music with him, and Cam saying, dude, I just want to play football. Like, I don't know that, listen, guys can have other interests. Plenty do. Damian Lillard, phenomenal athlete, has a wonderful music career going for him, but there's a certain way of going about it and maturity of doing that I think that is lacking here. And it's not a surprise that there was a slide, but I almost think, apples and oranges situations, completely different. But I do think about Colin Kaepernick a lot. And at the point in time when he was trying to get back in the league and he was a lightning rod for just the conversation about the kneeling and all of that stuff going on, most GMs, nobody wanted him as their starting quarterback. Was he talented enough to be the backup? Absolutely. But he came with baggage. He came with distraction. And people don't want that distraction in their building if that's not contributing to their team's success.
There's a reason why Cam Newton was awesome as a starter.
Yeah.
But the minute that the shoulder went, teams didn't keep him in the building as a backup.
Yep.
And it's because Cam Newton is a lightning rod for media attention.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really good at it,
right?
He does a great job. He gets clicks, man. Good for you. Content game. Shedeur Sanders, it's the same kind of idea, right? I also think, to a degree, if these stories that have come out, you know, McShay talks about the Giants interview going poorly. Now, some people have come out and said, that might not have been true, but it sounds like he had some bad meetings. It sounds like he wasn't as professional as he should have been. It sounds like he kind of treated some of those meetings like a top five pick would, where, hey, you're not in the top five, I don't really have to care about you. Unfortunately for Shedeur, you weren't a top five player. Abdul Carter could say, hey, I'm doing interviews with these five teams, and that's it.
Right.
Why? Because Abdul Carter, worst case scenario, was going to be picked, honestly, by four.
Well, I think we saw just kind of the real Shedeur Sanders just in those videos with Cam Ward.
Sure.
I was kind of surprised. Like, I get it. These kids are young. They want to go out. They want to do things. They have fun. But just the level of dedication, Cam Ward, when he was getting asked by Shedeur, you know, what do you have for activities like on Saturdays? Or what do you have activities on Sundays? They're talking about, you know, off days, not playing college football. What do you do? Cam Ward's like football. And Shador's like, nah, you got nothing else? And Shedeur just continues to give him crap. And then, along with the reports of crappy meetings, guys, he skipped or didn't want to play in the Senior Bowl, basically skipped playing in the Gridiron Bowl. I think he said he was going to play, then showed up. Oh, no, I'm just here to hang. Like, those kinds of things, it's become pretty clear that those are super important. I don't know, you know, how much versus talent, like, you want to, like, weigh it here, but I don't think the talent outweighed the attitude in this case.
Well, and some people don't have an issue with him having interests outside of football. Some people do, right? There's some people
that's
dumb. Some people completely agree with you, Jordan, on having things that people do outside of football. Personally, for me, I know that when I had an off day, dude, I just wanted to go golf.
Of course.
Or I just wanted to go hang out with my buddies, and I didn't want to talk about football at all, or at least talk about my football.
Right.
I want to talk about other things.
Sure.
And I don't have an issue if you're like, hey, man, my thing is, like, I like rapping. Cool. Go rap, man.
Yeah.
It sounds like that's something that Shedeur likes. It sounds like Shedeur is into kind of the streaming side of things, right?
Yeah, Travis Hunter is. We know that about him.
100%. And I have no issue with that. But it's clear to me that Shedeur, it's from everything that it sounds like, treated it like he thought he was going to be a top five pick. And if he thought he was going to be a top five pick and he had the talent to be a top five pick, then
he would have been a top five pick.
He would have been a top five pick.
Someone would have traded up to get him. And then when he fell, someone would have considered themselves lucky to have that opportunity.
With all of the antics. And that's not what he is. I do feel like he kind of paid an unfair price. Not that the league was colluding against him.
No.
But teams looked at, like, I'll tell you right now, the Saints looked at Tyler Shuck and they looked at Shedeur Sanders. And at one point, they looked at those two and they said, well, I'm going to go with Tyler Shuck. And yes, some of that is going to be with what they think they can create in an offense for him. Kellen Moore is known for liking bigger quarterbacks. Tyler Shuck is a bigger quarterback. But to me, when I turn on the film, I like Shedeur Sanders a little bit more than I like Tyler Shuck. I heard one person through the entire draft process come out and say that he wasn't a first or second round talent QB. Mm-hmm. And that's Quincy Avery. Everybody else said that he's a first or second round talent QB, yet he fell all the way to the fifth. And I do really think it's because of how he treated people in the draft process and the circus that is going to surround a Sanders when you draft them. And if you view him as a backup talent, then you don't want the circus that he comes with.
The other thing is most teams, at least early in the draft, they're trying to draft for starters, not for backups. And exactly. So even if you wanted him as your backup, if everyone else is going out there getting starters and you're getting someone who's going to sit, that doesn't usually happen a lot once you, I mean, occasionally with the quarterback you're trying to groom, you do see that yep. very high up because they're that valuable and you're investing in that future. Yep. But Shedeur's in a prove it mode where yes. he has to show NFL teams that he can play. And they're like, if we don't know that he can play, we're going to go get a linebacker or a safety or a DB or mm-hmm. someone in the trenches who we know can play and that right. we can plug in right away. And right. so I think there's more to unpack with this. You mentioned the Todd McShay reports about the Giants. I read another and, you know, you can take it for a grain of salt or worth a grain of salt, but some of the anonymous reports. This is a different one than the one we saw last week about offenses and how Shedeur was approaching them. Got that as well. And then we have to get into our prank call Pepper Jack, as well as whether the Seahawks are liar, liar, pants on fire with Jalen Milroe. Also, coming up in the club tonight, we have a new viral internet debate. Man versus Beast, or 100 men versus Beast. Also, a new juvenile challenge, a weedster egg hunt, and NBA-style marriage contracts. So, buckle up. We got a lot coming your way.
Can't wait.
But right now, it's Schultzy with Sports. In Dylan Gabriel, what you get is probably not a guy that you're expecting or even wanting to have to play significant football right away. But mm-hmm. what you're getting, or what you think you're getting, and why you draft him that spot, is you're getting someone that will take the process seriously. You're getting somebody who will be a good teammate, a good leader, someone who, if forced into duty, will know exactly what they're doing. And right. it's not to say that Shedeur isn't that, but Dylan Gabriel at least showed that to them through that process. And with Shedeur, you might be getting a better quarterback, but you're not getting those same characteristics of quiet backup, keeps to himself, viewed as a team guy. Again, not saying Shedeur isn't. I wasn't around him. I don't know. But a lot of the kind of individualized stuff that finds him, you don't have coming Dylan Gabriel's way, whether that's good, bad, or indifferent. And I think it makes some sense. The one other thing, you mentioned the Todd McShay report about the Giants meeting, and I know you said there's also maybe some pushback on what exactly happened.
Right.
But if you're not familiar with that report, the report essentially was they gave or offered Shedeur some sort of install package or an offensive package that they wanted him to either do on the whiteboard or talk them through and do some X's and O's with them. And the report is that Brian Daboll, specifically the head coach, was disappointed in Shedeur's preparation or lack thereof.
Right.
And then, and following that Shedeur was upset with Daboll being upset with him. So I can't believe you're not prepared for this. And like him being like, don't talk to me like that kind of a situation. And no one was there. It's also been rebuffed that like people have said that may or may not have happened. But
some people have confirmed it. Some people have not. Some people have confirmed, what was the rumor? He took a FaceTime call in the middle of a meeting.
Somebody else said his headphones were on and music was playing.
Yeah, it sounds like Shedeur, you know, there are some things that he needs to handle a little bit better.
Some of it could be fabricated, but where there's smoke, there's probably some degree of fire. And then this was the other anecdotal thing I saw. And I'm not crazy about some of these anonymous reports, but I also don't expect, you know, Joe Smith from X team in the NFC West to just put a stamp on and say, this is what my team feels about it.
Yes.
But this report said, when you hear all the anecdotal stories about the person, it's not that he's a bad kid. He's been so insulated. It's going to be a culture shock when he really learns how a locker room operates and how it really works inside an NFL building. He's had so much input on the offensive game plan and who the coach is and everything that's been catered to him that when you walk in one of these NFL buildings, no one's going to give an S about that. No one cares who your dad is. You're going to have to to end up fighting through some adversity. If the plays are not going to be called to exactly what you want to run, even last year with Shermer in Colorado, a lot of the mistakes he made was stuff that he just decided to call at the line of scrimmage himself, and there's no recourse for him making those decisions. Whereas in a real locker room, you make a couple of those decisions, you get your ass ripped so bad that you never want to do it again.
Right. So. Well, and that's another thing, too. Like, he's the first person, I think, that has gotten a downgrade in the NFL draft because his dad was a football coach. Like, how often do you hear,
yeah,
oh, this is a smart kid, he's a quality kid, got to have him in the locker room. Dad is a football coach and coached him in high school, right? And so there are for sure drawbacks. It does seem like Deion kind of let him and Travis specifically have more freedom than most college athletes would typically have. That being said, it's the perfect spot for him to land. There's a reason why people were saying Cleveland will draft Shador. There's a reason why it came out later that Daboll didn't want Shador. Well, because Daboll, he coached Josh Allen. He likes big, strong QBs. He likes physically gifted quarterbacks. And as gifted as Shador is, he doesn't have the same gifts that Jackson Dart has. He's not big and physical and strong with his throw power. He is built on getting the ball out quickly and accurately. When they were talking about spots for him to land, the McVay tree was the perfect type of system for him. What Stefanski wants him to do is get the football out quickly and accurately to his wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs, and then let them make others miss. And if not, we'll methodically march down the field. They had success with Baker Mayfield over there doing that. 2 years ago, they had success with Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco's throw power is 50% at best what it once was.
Oh, yeah. Because he's gotten the full Peyton Manning where he used to have a rocket arm, and now it's just about a noodle.
Right. But guess what? They won a lot of football games with him, and they did that because of what this system is.
He can read the defenses. He can deliver the ball in a timely fashion.
And I'll tell you right now, with that quarterback room that they have, Shador's going to get a shot if he runs with it. Dylan Gabriel's going to get a shot. Right now, your top QB is Deshaun Watson, who's looked horrific, and he's probably going to be out the whole year because he tore his Achilles. Then your next QB is Kenny Pickett, who's looked anything but being a starter at every stop that he's been at. He's already on his third team, and he was drafted, what, 21, 22?
Yep.
Like, he hasn't been in the league that long. Joe Flacco's old as dirt, so if he's not the starter, you probably move on from him.
I do believe that, because somebody was posting odds already. I think that Pickett, of the five quarterbacks, he's the favorite to start.
It goes Pickett. I have the picture. It goes Pickett, then at plus 175, it's Shador, then it's a DG, and then it's Joe Flacco. And so, look, I'm not going to be shocked at all if at some point in this season, Shador Sanders starts. I'm not going to be shocked at all if at the end of this season we see all three or all four of them start. I think that's completely possible. Don't be shocked if this Cleveland Browns team, you see them with the amount of first-round picks that they're going to have next year, kind of test everybody and see what happens. The funny thing is people are, you know, kind of complaining about what Cleveland did in the draft. You take away the Shador, Dylan Gabriel picks, they had a very good draft, I felt like. They went out and got two really good running backs. They went out and got Mason Graham. I think he's going to be a stalwart on that defensive line. And then they've traded back in a draft, got two first-round picks. So next year they're going to have two in a much better quarterback class. They have the freedom to give a test run to all of these QBs. And look, I don't think Joe Flacco's in their plans because he can't be in anyone's long-term plans because of his age.
No.
But with these three young guys, let them all have a shot at it, man. Yeah. Give them a couple games, right?
And it sounds like it'll be a competition.
If they run with it, great. If they don't, well, then you can move on next year. You can use those two picks to move yourself up. Or more than likely, if none of those three work, you're going to be up there able to draft a QB early anyways. So I don't hate it. If I'm Shador Sanders, man, you're going to have to eat a little bit of humble pie. Hang out with Shiloh more because Shiloh's the ultimate hype man. I don't know if you saw any of the clips coming out of there. I kind of love Shiloh, at least as a hype man. And just understand, you got to put your head down. You got to go to work. You got to be locked in on what the plays are. You got to be locked in on what the checks need to be. You have to come in feeling like you are a fifth-round pick because you are a fifth-round pick. And then who knows, man? He might come in and light the world on fire, and halfway through the year, he's the starting quarterback, and he might not. But if I was Shador Sanders, yeah, it sucks to think that you are going to be a top-five pick and now you're a fifth-round pick. But if you are going to go somewhere, this is the spot to go.
Because
you are
going to
get the most chances to be a starter.
With the whole like dad is a coach thing, let's call a spade, this isn't just any head coach or he grew up in a football family, right? This is a candidate that has been talked about to possibly take over one of the 32 jobs in the NFL right now, today. You know, the last like 6 months we've been hearing about, oh, Deion to the Cowboys.
Yep.
When has that ever happened with any other player in draft history, guys? Literally the closest you can think of is Arch Manning, not an NFL head coach, but just, you know, a legendary like family, really more so because of Peyton than Arch. Like Peyton's the best out of all of them. So it was essentially a football family with Eli kind of demanding to go to a different destination. This is unprecedented. And I would think that that unprecedented situation equals an unprecedented slide from the first to the fifth round.
Well, as the great Jim Harbaugh would say, I think that ground has been thoroughly plowed at this point. We've got all of our Shadur hay in the barn, except for one little anecdote, one little story that turned into a big story, prank calls. Our prank call Pepper Jack is coming up next on The Fan. You can never be more of a pain in the ass than your talent level allows. And that is, it says whether it's in the NFL or flipping burgers. And yeah, I think that there's a lot to that. I think that also, you know, we see how nepotism works in a lot of fields, not just sports. And I think people assumed that nepotism would work in his favor. Oh, he's Deion's son. Of course, that gives him a boost. It may not have in this case.
Well, somebody that hates nepotism, love that one. That's a win for everybody like me.
Bottom line is that Sanders could be a talent, but Sue talks about players wanting to play football because they love it. Sanders grew up a different lifestyle than us, maybe not Buckley lifestyle, Rich. He doesn't have enough athletic ability to overcome those flaws. Could he be great? Obviously he could, but does he want it? That's the question. And I agree with that too. So some savvy text coming in.
I'd be interested though. Like to me, it's clear that Cam Ward and Travis Hunter love football. I'd be interested if you really got down to it with the other guys in the top 10, how many of them truly love football? Because yes, loving football is a part of the deal. A guy like Tom Brady clearly loved football and all he did was football. You know who else probably had, like he had success, but he didn't love football. At least I don't feel like he loves football like
football's
that.
Football's football. And the only way to get better at it is to play football.
I don't think Cam Newton loves football.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Abdul Carter, does Abdul Carter love football? I don't know.
Michael Crabtree didn't. 49ers receiver. He was great. When teams talked to him, he said, well, I like football, but my real passion is fashion. And they're like,
Right.
And that bothers Campbell? Some people, but...
Does Will Campbell love football?
He might.
I don't know. The guard out of Alabama clearly loves football.
You know what? Actually, Will Campbell does. I heard a cool anecdote about him, and then we'll get into these prank calls. But somebody asked about, you know, either toughness or him playing through injury. And I guess there was a high school game in which he had been out for a couple games because he had a pretty serious groin injury. And his team was losing, and he was in street clothes. And at halftime, he went underneath the bleachers and suited up. And then he came back to, like, the coach, and he's like, just let me go for one drive. And he goes, and then I never came out again. And we won the game.
That's fantastic. Well, but again, okay, so Will Campbell loves football, right?
Yeah.
And maybe in this top 10, there's a crew that really do love it. There's a lot more people that are really good at football.
And see it as a means to an end.
That you would be like, oh, they love football. They don't love football. Anthony Rendon doesn't love baseball, right? Like the minute Anthony Rendon got paid, Anthony Rendon stopped playing baseball. You see it in the NBA. Ben Simmons doesn't love basketball.
Yeah.
That's not his number one.
Yep.
And that's okay. If you're really good at a sport and you're still...
Not for some fan bases, though, and not for some executives.
I would disagree with you.
See, I actually think it's fine. Not everyone has to live and die by sports. Sometimes you can have balance, and that is a good thing.
Not everybody, just the most talented guys in the leagues. Like, if you're making the $200 million, I do expect you to spend 7 days a freaking week in the gym like Kobe did. I do.
Did Allen Iverson love basketball?
I mean...
No.
I thought that he did to a point, more so than kids now, I would say. If you asked Allen Iverson, a 27-year-old, his love of the game compared to, like, Paul George or Ben Simmons, no. Kawhi
did,
Leonard
did Lawrence
even.
Taylor love football? We don't even know. He loved partying.
I think Lawrence Taylor looked at football as a very big means to an end.
Yes, yeah. It just helps you get to the next party.
You can listen to Sook talk about Warren Sapp. I don't know that Warren Sapp loved football. I think Warren Sapp loved what football did for him.
Yeah.
So...
And some guys love what football does for them enough that it matters and gets the absolute best results
to where
out
they
of them.
Do love football, that's right? True. And so, there are different ways to skin the cat on having a great professional career. And yeah, in some situations, that is going to be a knock against Shador. Not in every situation, but also Shador has to understand too, and the other guys who, Travis Hunter, who's, you know, he's doing his Twitch streaming. A lot of guys are doing Twitch streaming now. A lot of guys have their own podcast. Micah Parsons gets attacked for this from time to time, where when you are doing your outside interests and you mess up on the field.
Draymond Green, great example.
Draymond Green's a great example. Unfairly or not, you will get attacked for that because the perception is...
it's the nature of the beast.
Why are you doing this instead of being football all the time? Well, guess what? Like, you have time between your sport to have a one-hour podcast. It's not going to make you or break you when it comes to being a good player or a great player.
No one has a problem with Miles Turner building Legos, but it probably takes the same amount of time as Draymond Green recording a podcast. But it's just different people, different interests. But the more public you are about those outside interests, the more people think, get back to your job.
100%. And whether it's fair or unfair, they are going to make sure that you are aware that they think you should only care about your sport.
Want to get to the big story outside or on the fringes of the Shador Sanders thing, and that was the prank call that went viral. So Shador, before he got picked, received a FaceTime call telling him it was the New Orleans Saints and that he was going to get picked by them. He wasn't. It was just a prank, as I mentioned. The people who committed the prank recorded it and did not take internet very long to figure out that the kid sitting next to the prank caller was the son of an NFL coordinator. Now, this is significant because there were a lot of other prank calls this year. A prank call happened to Tyler Warren. Mm-hmm. He was told that he was getting picked by the Jets at 7. He was not. Prank call went to Isaiah Bond, who was a receiver out of Texas, who thought that he was going to be drafted, period. He went undrafted, but he had someone calling him, telling him he was being drafted. And then I even read a story that Will Levis, going back a couple years, that he got a call that said that he was going number one overall. He obviously had to wait a very long time. He said he still has that number, and someday he's going to get that person back. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if that's all going to happen, but the point is, this stuff does happen. Where it doesn't or shouldn't have is that Shador Sanders, at least with some awareness, or his team with some awareness of how big of a deal he is, got him a new phone with a new phone number specifically for this process and only for NFL teams to communicate with him. Mm-hmm. That was the number this got called on. So this isn't something that some gal that he hung out with in Boulder or at a party in LA, like, had his number and gave it to someone, and that person just hopped on and called his personal phone. No, this was it. This was a phone specifically with a number for the NFL draft
they
and for
NFL right
executives. And so, and yet, it was still compromised because he got this prank call, and then we find out that it was the son of Falcons defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich. You might remember him as the interim head coach for the Jets, also coached at UCLA for a while. But his son saw an open iPad with the information, took down the information, and then went back to his little frat bros, and they decided to pull off this prank call. Now, Jax Ulbrich ended up deleting his account, and then either firing it up again or reactivating it and posting an apology. That apology read, "On Friday night, I made a tremendous mistake. Shador, what I did was completely inexcusable, embarrassing, and shameful. I'm so sorry I took away from your moment. It was selfish and childish. I could never imagine getting ready to celebrate one of the greatest moments of your life, and I made a terrible mistake and messed with that moment. Thank you for accepting my call earlier today. I hope you can find it in your heart to forgive me." And then he tags Shador Sanders. I guess that's a solid start for an apology.
100% AI generated, by the way. Reportedly.
Until you run it through an AI generator and it says, "Oh yeah, nobody wrote that. That was written by a machine." So the kid couldn't write his own apology. The Falcons have since gone on to address the issue. They had a press release saying how the information was compromised and say they'd be looking into their protocols to see how to avoid that happening again. I saw really mixed responses to this online. Some people, even a texter here, thinking that it was great that this happened to Shador because F him, which I
disagree.
I totally disagree. You don't have to like Shador Sanders.
Yeah,
he set himself up to be insulated from something like this, and he didn't deserve this. That's no one does fair on their big day.
No.
And so the fact that it did, and now that this kid is basically, you know, AI generating his apology, he had to apologize. His dad has to apologize. But there are people saying, well, the Falcons should be fined. Ulbrich should be fined.
Disagree.
They should use it. They should lose a draft pick next year because they've proven themselves unable to handle these sensitive information.
I'm even further than that. I think he should be fired. I don't even think it should be from the Atlanta Falcons. I think the NFL should freaking fire Jeff Ulbrich.
Wow.
Because here's what happens. And Will,
open laptop. I said,
Will, you got to keep order in your house, right? And I would, you know what? My dad would. I don't know if he'd beat me senseless, but there would be some major repercussions, even as a 19, 21-year-old, however this kid was, from looking at my dad's open laptop at sensitive information that you're not supposed to have and then gathering it and doing whatever the hell you will with it. There has to be some sort of major punishment for allowing that to fester. I'm sick of the, oh, you know what? Young kids will be kids. 20-year-olds will be 20-year-olds. Guys, some mistakes have major consequences. And I don't think that Ulbrich, I don't know if he didn't raise his son the right way in the regard to jokes. Like, prank calls like this are not okay. And I don't care if he's a frat kid. I don't care whose kid he is. This should bring some major repercussions. And the fact that it's not, it's just going to be like, oh, a stern talking to, that's bullsh to me.
That's why I feel like a fine isn't necessarily out of line, but I do think that a firing, a suspension, something like that is a really slippery slope. Because how far do you hold parents accountable for their kids' behavior? Yes, it's because of the dad that he got a hold of this, but as the Falcons said, dad left his laptop open and walked away. He didn't say go prank call this kid or whatever. If your parent, you know, goes out for dinner and you raid the liquor cabinet and then you go get a DUI, is that your parent's fault?
Right.
Like, and I'm not saying, you know, that they shouldn't have done something different or better or maybe had that under lock and key if there was a possibility of that happening. But, or, you know, your kid goes to a school, you parent them right at home, but then they bully and punch another kid. Is that should there be repercussions for that parent? I don't know. I think that it's a tough situation to adjudicate. I don't know that there should be anything done. I don't know that there shouldn't. But the reactions online were all over the map.
I don't think anything should be done. The kid apologized. Now, whether you think he did it the correct way or the wrong way, that's up for you to decide. And the court of public opinion will treat him the correct way. But look, all you can do now is there will be adjustments made in the NFL. And it's clear that Jeff Ulbrich won't leave his email up anymore.
Yep.
Everyone has made a mistake as a kid. As a 19-year-old, everyone has
this
made
is
a mistake.
More than a mistake, though.
What's the mistake? He was a jerk?
I mean, there wasn't even a crime committed.
Well, there's no crime.
But it was thought after thought. When you say mistake, are you thinking of the moment where he decided to make the prank call or the moment where he decided to grab the number?
Dude, I make prank calls all the time.
Because, okay, but how do you get that information? And I'm so sorry I'm upset with this, but, like, seriously, this is how we frame a screw-up when a 21-year-old kid does it. The level of screw up really matters here. He decided to grab the number. He then decided to share it with his friends. They all then decided to give this guy a call. There are multiple freaking steps of mistakes here.
And to Schultz's point, a texter says, if something like this happened to me at my work and I left my laptop open and sensitive information got out that compromised the company, I would be fired for it. And that, depending on where you work, is a thing that could happen.
Yes, but is that what this is?
I don't know that it is.
No. Look, it's a 19-year-old who made a bad decision, a non-criminal bad decision, and everyone has done it. And there's going to be punishment for him in his house, and it should be handled in-house. And if Ulbrich gets fined or the Falcons get fined, okay, like to me,
that seems going to stop the next prank caller,
right? Well, what they're going to do is they're going to change how they send out the database, because what it is, it's a database where it has all the numbers, so these NFL teams can call these players,
and then
certain
personnel can get access to the database.
It's an incredibly lame move by the kid,
yeah,
and he should be reprimanded in the court of public opinion.
And I'm sure his dad is going to whoop that ass
100%, right? He is going to feel the pain of this mistake.
Because dad probably does feel like, for a heartbeat, his job was compromised. But, and for a football guy, that's not going to go over very well.
No, it's not. Especially an angry football guy, which
like Ulbrich is.
Seems to be, right? But again, everyone made a mistake at 19. This mistake, I think you can make the argument, isn't nearly half as bad as most of people's mistakes that they made at 19 and at 20. It's a learning experience. It sucks, but no one deserves to be fired over this.
Most people's mistakes don't end up on national television, and that's why I think this might be a little bit bigger than just the average, like, 19-year-old screw-up. It's not like I just have some kid. They went off to Vanderbilt. Nobody knows who they are. This is the son of a defensive coordinator in the NFL. The privilege that you are afforded, you have to act like you belong there.
All right, well, let's put down this this prank call Pepper Jack and move over to some of our NFL draft dunkaroos. Somebody on the text line asking, are we going to talk about the Seahawks picks? The answer is yes, specifically the front half of their draft and Jalen Milroe, some really great stuff to love about him. Also, where some of the Oregon Ducks landed and what Will thinks their prospects and fits look like for their new franchises. That's coming up. You're listening to Primetime, 1080 The Fan.